over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the values that we want to affirm. God's story at work in us and how it is taking shape. And we started with week one with transformational discipleship. And we were reminded that our relationship with Christ, it really is a call to a person. It's a call to a relationship to the person of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about transformational discipleship, we are inviting people to come alongside and to see what God is doing, what Christ is doing, to hear what Christ is saying. And in transformational discipleship, we look for opportunities, whether it's serving together in ministry, whether it's in a small group experience, or even with an intentional effort to develop discipleship triads. These are some things that we're in the process of shaping, that we want to encourage each other in our walk to see what Christ is doing, to hear what he is saying, and then to encourage one another. So that's one of the values that we really want to affirm and continue to see take shape in our life and in our church, and that's transformational discipleship. Then we talked about serving and loving. Using the story of the Good Samaritan, we were reminded about how important it is that serving and loving our neighbor is limited only by our failure to see, to feel, and respond. And so we were encouraged to find and to understand what are the things that God is showing us. How can we serve? How can we love one another? Another value that we talked about was an authentic experience of God. And really, I can't help but not remember that Sunday just because there were so many things that went wrong in our worship gathering on that Sunday. And it was just a reminder to us, I think, in a very practical way that, you know, worship, experiencing God can be messy. It's not defined by how we put everything and that everything has to line up. But there is a sense of authenticity before God as, God, here I am. There you are. I open my heart to experience you and to know you. And so as we understand that our worship is a framework, our coming to God is a framework for understanding God's love and his love in our lives. Then after that, last week we talked about hospitality and welcome. And here we reminded you that we are to welcome each other with a holy kiss. Did anybody get a kiss this morning? No, seriously. We did try to define that sense of what that sacred kiss, what that holy kiss looks like, and how it breaks down isolation, how it enables us to respect and honor the equality of genders, how it shatters social status and ethnic differences. I encourage you that we want to implement this sacred kiss in a sense of using the gift plan, G-I-F-T. And so I'm going to put it up there again just to remind you, as we want to become a more hospitable and welcoming church, this is how each time we get together using this acronym of GIFT, want to encourage you to greet someone that you've never met before or that you haven't talked to in a while. So as you come here in this gathering place or as you gather together, make it a point to greet someone you've never met before. And then moving on to introduce people to each other, to help others to meet the people that you have met just by a simple introduction. And then F is to follow up on someone you met or spoke to recently, to find the person that you maybe met a week or two ago or you had a conversation, to follow up on that conversation. And then the T being to thank someone who did something you appreciate. Our church is full of people who volunteer their time and efforts. Take a moment each Sunday to thank at least one of them. Encouragement costs nothing, but it is worth a great deal. And so that's our sacred kiss, so to speak, to see welcome and hospitality grow in the life of our church. This week, our focus is on community that is shaped by all ages. Community, doing life, sharing life together, growing in fellowship, in love for one another, in connection with one another, a relationship that flows out of our relationship with Christ. It's kind of a full circle expression of all the values that we have affirmed already. And with this one, we have the added element of being shaped by all ages, the intergenerational piece, recognizing and affirming that our church is made up of and is involving many different ages. We want to affirm that our Christian experience needs to be intergenerational, from the very youngest to the very oldest, that there is a flow, that what we experience in God is shared together in these different ages, that it's not limited to, well, at that age group, you know, they need to experience God, or you know, when you've kind of put all that stuff behind you and you get to be that mature person in that middle age, that's the time, okay, then I'm settled in, I can now experience God. No. Our relationship, our experience of God, and the community that we have, that we're gathered together under Christ, is to be shaped by all the ages, all the different ages, and working together in these different seasons of life. We believe in a church that is intergenerational, where people can learn, experience, serve, and worship at every age. In many ways, we try to do this. In fact, many times we do this very well. I mean, just looking at this morning and seeing the different ages, generations involved in our service. I mean, here at the front, you see young and old. You see teenagers who are playing instruments and singing along with their parents. But the reality is that even here you see that in the various ministries and even setting up. This morning, I saw a young adult, you know, together with one of our stalwart, mature members serving and setting up our chairs this morning in Zoom today. I know that there are teenagers working together with I have a hard time saying it. Like, what am I? Like, middle-aged? No, not quite. Well, what do you call me? My age? Adults. Okay, we'll just call it adults. Plain old adults. But the reality is that this is a defining characteristic of King's Community Church. And this morning, we want to affirm that value and understand what lies behind it, what the foundation of it is, and to encourage us to talk about and find out how this value can be strengthened. Just want to give you a heads up. In a few minutes, I am going to put a couple of questions on the screen. And so I'm going to invite some feedback here in the middle of the message as well, not just waiting for the Q&A. So I am going to look for a little bit of dialogue, and I hope that the questions will be, you know, clear enough that it'll just kind of be like popcorn. So I'm just giving you the heads up on that so that you're kind of aware of it. Remember last Sunday in the Q&A time, Suzanne shared in our Q&A about how her son Jacob has been welcomed and encouraged to serve as a part of the worship team, and how deeply that welcome and encouragement has been felt, affirming his part as a part of the community. Again, it's just a picture of this community, this gathering shaped by all ages. I've been giving a little bit of thought to different people in my own experience as I grew up, who shared a piece of their lives with me, mentoring or encouraging, discipling, helping me to become the leader I am. I remember when I was in grade 8 and moving into grade 9, and we had just become a part of a church. My father was the pastor, and we were a church in Kitchener, and that particular church had a German heritage, and they had a great brass band, you know, like that good old umpapa, good old German brass band kind of music. And they had a band of about like 30 or 40 people. And it was amazing. Week after week, they would play as a part of the service. They would have this band serving. And so here I was. I had just begun to start playing the saxophone. I played tenor saxophone, just like you, Mateus. I was never as good as you are. I'll tell you that right now. But I was beginning to learn the saxophone. And I remember the senior leader of this band, his name was Hugo Hintz. He came to me, and he had heard that I was playing saxophone. And I had just started out, like I was in my first year, maybe the second year of it, playing it at school. And he said, well, come on, you have to come to band practice. You have to start playing in the band. I mean, you have an instrument, you got to start playing. And I could never keep up with those German march songs. I could never keep up with it. But they encouraged me to come along and to play along. And eventually I could and play. And I was a part of that ministry in the church, even as a young guy. Grade 8, grade 9. Later on in life, as we had moved out west, and I remember in particular one youth pastor, his name was Dave Moltzon, and one thing about Dave that I got to say, he wasn't very flashy, and he was not cool. He was, in fact, I don't know. He was like the nerdiest of the nerd. But this guy took an interest in my life. He took an interest in what I was doing, and he walked alongside me, and he helped me and another couple of guys lead this small youth group in this small country town called Vernon, BC. And it was amazing the impact that had on me as a young guy. I was just, I think I was 17, 18 years old, and I began to see, wow, you know, this guy was taking an interest. He was sharing his life with me, and he really didn't have to, but he did. And he took an interest, and that really helped shape me. Another guy, when I moved to Vancouver, I went to university, and I joined a church that I had some connection with, but it was more, that's the church I just ended up going to while I was in university. And this other old guy, he happened to play saxophone too for some reason. I don't know if that was the thing, but I didn't play saxophone in Vancouver. But this was a guy who, he was a senior leader in the church that I attended, and each Sunday, each time we met, he took time to get to know me, to find out what I was doing, to find out, you know, what I was planning, and to find out how life was treating me as a student in Vancouver. It just embedded itself in, as I remembered this, how important it was that this adult took an interest in me in my formational time as I was just going to university. Later on, I had this great aunt and uncle. They never had kids of their own. When I decided to go to Bible college and study for the ministry, this older couple, I mean, they were well into their 70s and even approaching their 80s, encouraged and believed in me. They invested in me. They reminded me, whenever I would visit them, they would remind me in the telling of their stories about the hard work that they had endured. And they would remind me and say, "Don't be afraid of hard work. God will help you." That song we sang, "King of My Heart, God Will Never Let You Go," or that was consistently their message as a senior couple, as they shared and encouraged me in my life. And I think of teachers in school who helped me dream beyond just putting in my time as a student, but helped me to influence my class, helped me and supported me as we experienced a mini revival on campus at school while I was attending there. And they just came alongside us and encouraged us. My first youth pastor, when I became a youth pastor in Toronto, this guy, Walter Kimberley was his name. He was, man, he had awkward questions. Like he would come, I was a single guy, 24, 25. He would ask me the most awkward questions, but directly steered to my heart, directly steered to what was going on and to guide me. And I had the richest conversations, and it never ended without this, "I love you, brother, and I'm standing behind you." And then he'd give me this hug. And it's amazing how these people, just a part of my story, who shaped my life as a young person growing up, and it embeds this in my heart, and I want to share this, impart this today, that the lives that we touch are not just those in our circle of friends, but it's also those who are coming up and even those who are even advanced in age beyond us. Each of these examples are examples of how an older, seasoned, mature follower of Christ took an interest in and helped to shape and develop this young, immature believer. Now, I'm not sure any of those that I've mentioned this morning, if I would go up to them and say, "Thank you for being such a mentor in my life." I mean, some have passed on already. But if I would go to them and say that, they would look at me and say, "Mentor? What's a mentor?" Especially my great aunt and uncle. Like, that's just not part of their language. It's not, what's that? I don't think that they would have even recognized that that's what they were doing. They were just sharing life. And I would suggest that this is a gift, an action that is much needed in church today, in our community, in our fellowships, in our Christian expression and witness, a willingness to, or even a commitment to share life together, to walk alongside with the next generations coming after us. Sometimes it's not even the next generation by natural age and birth. Sometimes it's also somebody who is just beginning to experience what it means to be a follower of Christ and needing someone who's walked this journey for a while just to come alongside and bring that encouragement. Because I believe that's what community shaped by all ages looks like when we take an interest in other ages, other generations than our own. These are the questions that I want to ask you this morning. Because I'd love to hear a little bit of these stories from you. Who were the people? Some of the people who shared life with you when you were younger. Maybe it's younger in age. Maybe it's even younger in your walk with Christ. Who were some of the people who shared life? And how did they encourage or support you, even help guide you as you began to step into roles of influence, whether it's as a, on your career path, as a leader, as a parent, or whatever that might be? I'd love to hear some of that from you. And can I get somebody? Is there somebody who can walk besides? Do you want to do this? Could we activate this just so we can hear your question, hear your thoughts? Yeah, Sharon.
Well, I grew up in the country, and I got bused to school in the town of Owen Sound. And my grandparents lived like not too far from. We actually switched houses with them. We took over the welding business, moved out to the farm, and they took over our little house. Anyway, so it was fantastic. I could just hop over their fence anytime I wanted, pop in. My grandma would always be like sitting in her chair, like a certain time of day. It was so dependable. And she was like, my grandparents were amazing. They're so happy to see me every time. They prayed for me every single day, like every single day of my life. And they told me that. And that was just incredible. So they really left a legacy of faith. They both became Christians in their 20s, I think, before they got married. And when you see the generational blessing of that, it's just incredible. So I feel like anyone like could have that if they make a choice. They influence those around them and future generations.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that.
When I think about my time at camp as a camper, but also as a staff person, and partially it's even to encourage you guys who work at camp or volunteer at camp, it is so meaningful. I remember being a camper and my counselor, so she was probably like 17, right? And the influence of being interested in me and what that looked like, and mailing me a letter during the year, you know, to say something or like that kind of thing, or when we'd have a reunion, be there and that kind of thing. Or even in youth group, because there were older girls and younger, and how much that means to the younger girls, to me as a younger girl, to see the older girls. And how easy it is to forget when you're an older girl that there's younger girls looking up at you. So that I really remember that, and I know there's a lot of older girls and older guys in the room here, and so just encourage you, because it does mean so much to those younger ones to see you going ahead of them.
Yeah.
And they're watching. Yeah, they're watching everything. Yeah. No pressure, but they're watching.
Yeah, well said. It's so true.
This is probably a little more recent, so probably 5 years ago, Paul, and it wasn't an older person as much as perhaps more mature or knowing in the faith. There was a time I was just interested in going deeper, and there's this book called Knowing God, and it was more of a desire on my part to know God instead of just knowing more about him. And this guy was probably more of a peer, but knew Scripture well, had kind of gone through the same experience, was willing to share it. Was just available all the time, could ask him questions all the time, and just had some good practical experience to share with me in terms of putting a far more practical, relational edge to my faith.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, it's not just age Doreen? Sometimes it's age in terms of maturity, just that whole sense. Yep.
I really have never had a spiritual mentor at all, and coming out of a Christian, non-Christian home, that would have been nice, but the Lord brought Pat McDonald into my life when we were 11 and so, or 10, so that was a good thing. However, I have had the privilege of mentoring other young women, and it's always a privilege to do that, but I've been mentored by two men in my career, and they were people who were well ahead of me. And but what was consistent about both of them is that they saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and they also were very safe places for me to go. And those two elements are so encouraging, helpful, meaningful, impactful. They and it can go so deep. into molding who you are.
Yeah.
But they were, very, very incredible. Incredible men. And I just encourage people to speak into. My husband does this all the time. He's a wonderful mentor to young men.
He is.
I think that's so valuable, Doreen, when they saw something in you that you didn't realize. I think that's so true. Sometimes we look at other people and it's as plain as the nose on their face, but they're not aware of it. And so in terms of our roles in mentoring, it can be just such a blessing to share with them what you're seeing, where you see their talents, or even sharing them where you think or how you think God sees them or reminding them of them.
I was just thinking, not that you see very much, but as a pre-millennium, when I was young, I was in the Boy Scouts, and I had never seen anything that men did to young boys to shape them. And I was in Cubs, and right to the time I went to work, I was part of that. As part of a big family, we didn't have much, but Scouts just did shape me tremendously, and I thank the Scout Masters for all their work. And I don't see much of that anymore, where you get groups of boys being mentored by older people, and they encouraged me so much.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And the Scouts, you have that story of heard that story from others as well. And it's a real challenge to us even as a church to be that kind of a group. And that's part of what this message is about, to remind us of that value, how important, how valuable it is for us as men to mentor young men, as women to mentor young women, and to see these opportunities and to rise to those occasions.
I was just thinking about your comment, Paul, how if you had said to some of your mentors, thanks for being a mentor, they'd be like, what? I was a mentor? And I was just thinking of so many of you here as I grew up as a teenager in this church, and just simple things like just saying hi to me during the coffee time and asking how my week was and remembering things too, like, oh, you were talking that you had about that test that you had coming up, and just how big those little things were. And I don't know, we might not label it as mentorship, but it shaped me. Thank you to many of you in this congregation.
That's great. Exactly. And that's something that we're going to build on later on in this talk as well, to talk about some of the ways that we do that. This value of being a community shaped by all ages was woven into the fabric of life as the community of God's people was established. Israel, God's covenant people, was established by God, rescued out of slavery, and among other things, and we talked about this as we were going through the five acts, and we were just considering the story of Israel and how they as a people were rescued in order that they would broadcast the goodness of God, that they would be a model community, that they would demonstrate, that they would show how to relate to one another and how to relate to God. Their lives together were meant to be, to be marked by trust, by faith in God, by an obedience to Him, and by love for one another and a love for God. They were chosen, as I said, to broadcast the greatness of God to all people. And one of the ways they were to do this was through their relationships with each other. How this was to look was to be passed on generation to generation through this intentional act of sharing life together. We call it mentorship, we call it discipleship. Really, what it comes right down to, and it doesn't even need to be that under that kind of that heady term of mentorship, but it's just this sense of sharing life, allowing our fellowship to be shaped by all the different ages who gather together. Being a community that engaged all ages, the young and the old. Psalm 78, I'd like to read that, and if you have it on your phones or in your Bibles, you can just follow along. I actually had meant to print this out this morning. I just didn't get to the printer to do that. But I'll just read it. Follow along as best you can. Psalm 78. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden treasures, hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. And so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. That's as far as I'm going to read. But it strikes me that this passing on of life, this sharing on of this sharing of what God had called them to be as a people and their experience, it was not seen as a, well, if it crosses your mind or if it comes to your attention, when you get around to it, it's not that kind of a thing. But here, as expressed in this psalm, this song of praise incorporated right in it, it was an intentional commitment that ensured that the life story that God was writing among the people of God would continue to be experienced and written from generation to generation. It was very clearly intended. This is what we are to do. Tell the story, pass on the story, invite the next generation into the story to experience God in the same way that we had, so that this story can continue to be written. If you're familiar with the story of Israel, and I mean, we covered here pretty extensively last in the spring, but you know how often they failed to live out God's intention and design. How often Israel missed the mark of what God truly wanted. And it led to disaster. It led to brokenness. But the amazing thing is that the grace of God always preserved a remnant. There was always some who held fast to God and to his promises and to his word. And they were able to start again. They were able to carry on with God's intention to be a community that broadcast God's greatness, his faithfulness and love to all the nations. The words of this psalm remind me and challenge me about this role of sharing life together. In verse 4, the reference is to our children, not only to our children, but to the children of the next generations. There it says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his wonder and his about his power and his mighty wonders. The law was given. The directions were given. The instructions were given to Moses and to others. And they were instructions for life, a guide, something that they could use that would direct in every aspect of their lives. It helped to shape them, to guide them, to prepare them for being a mass of slaves as they move from being this group of slaves to becoming a mighty nation. The law and all those principles that were presented and given helped to shape them into this nation that would give God glory. How God made himself real to them, how they experienced him, and how they were able to make him known from generation to generation. I mean, just one example, the Passover and how that was a big part of their lives and their journey. This annual celebration, a reminder of how God displayed his power on their behalf. And more than that, how he showed his great love to them. And so this was something to be passed on from generation to generation. He commanded, as it says in this psalm in verse 5, he commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children so that each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. The whole purpose of sharing life, the whole purpose of passing on this experience to the next generation was that they would set their hope on God, that they themselves would experience God, and that they would experience that hope, and that they would obey his commands. This intentional commitment to relationships with the next generation is about seeing God's story continuing to be written in the lives of the people who will come after us. It's not about proliferating the good old days and say, oh man, if we could just relive those things. No, but it's about making alive and making new those experiences we have had in the next generations. sharing life together or mentorship or whatever you want to call it, is not about being the resident expert on life. It's not about being the guru who sits under a tree dispensing wisdom and say, come to me and I have wisdom for you to share with you and all the knowledge and my experience. Come. I have it all to share and to pass on to you. It's not about being that guy or that woman. What's being described here is about being willing to share life experiences, the good and the bad, with others. As a follower of Christ, it's sharing how God has unfolded his story in and through our lives, our life experience plus. It's about recognizing, as Doreen said, recognizing those things in people that they themselves don't see. Recognizing and affirming and building up and sharing with them to encourage them. No doubt there are some things that might hold us back from sharing our life experiences with other generations. We may think, oh, I have no time for that. My goodness, I got no time to come alongside anybody. Or maybe there's the feeling of, oh, I'm no expert. I don't know much anyways. What do I got to pass on? Sometimes the next generation causes fear within us. Or maybe there's even sometimes that feeling that, well, nobody's really interested in learning from my life experience. I made it on my own. They can figure it out themselves. Sometimes that's even part of that journey, part of that questioning. If we believe that our God and our experience of God needs to be a shared experience for all generations, if we believe that our community, the people of God, is shaped by all ages, then we need to develop and experience God in such a way that the next generations, those who come after us, those who walk with us, that they also will set their hope anew on him, that they will come to know God and experience God in new ways and fresh ways, in ways that we can affirm. And that will take some intentional action. About 18 months ago, we had Alvin Lau from the CBOQ head office, and he's in charge of youth ministry and family ministries. And he actually shared from this passage of Scripture, but he also gave to us and shared with us a very clear process, something very intentional, something that would help us to really see this take shape. And some of it we've implemented and we've been reminding here and there, but I want to do that one more time here because this is an opportunity for us to reconsider, to consider again, what does it look like for our community to be shaped by our lives? As we are open, as we are listening, as we are trusting God to lead in relationships, as we are open to the opportunities, wherever we have a chance to connect with one another, wherever we have a chance to build community, whether it's in a church service or activity or in our work environment or neighborhood, this is a simple perspective which will help us to share our life with others. Basically, it goes through six different levels. And the first level that he talked about is this level of casual conversation, where we begin that journey of shaping others and sharing our life with others through a casual conversation. A simple question, how's it going? That ties to the idea of greeting somebody and just welcoming and inviting them and just kind of saying, how are you, and introducing yourself. Sometimes it's a reference to an interest or a hobby or something that's going on, or maybe it's the first job, or maybe it's a new job, or some kind of initial casual conversation that we have with somebody who is younger than us or somebody who is new to us. And so this sharing life, this community that is shaped by interaction of different generations, begins with this casual conversation. And you also can see it then moving on to going a bit deeper. Not just a casual conversation, but then saying, tell me a little bit more about what's going on. Tell me a little bit more about, you know, the school you're a part of or the job that you have or the things that you're involved in. Just beginning to probe a little bit deeper. Beginning to understand or get a sense of what are some of those things that are deeply held, that are shared in that person's life, that maybe just need to be encouraged and drawn out. And so it starts with the sense of being interested, genuinely being interested, not because you want to tick off the box, but that sense of really being interested in somebody's life and in what's being said. Not this sense of, well, I'm going to make you my project now, so let's just walk this way with me, okay? No, but really being interested in finding out, hey, what are some of the things? Open-ended questions leading to deeper conversation, beginning to hear the heart and not just information. That's all part of that process of beginning the sharing of life. The next step or next level was suggested to us to enter their world. Sometimes it means finding out, okay, you're at school, maybe you're on a team, or you're in a music team, or you're making a presentation, and just kind of saying, hey, I'd love to be there. I'd love to see you, you know, as a part of your band, or I'd love to see you with your team, or maybe even in your workplace. Not getting weird or anything else, but just kind of like a willingness to engage in aspects of their world where there's already a sense of interest and there's a mutual sense of comfort. Then moving to that next level and saying, hey, you know what? I'd love to see you in your territory, kind of in your area. I'd love to see what you're doing. And knowing that that's also a moving on of that relationship of willingness to share life together. The next thing is, again, with some level of intentionality, is an invitation into your life. How about you come over and join us for lunch? Or how about we come and check out, you know, see me in my office or in my place, in my workplace, or some place that it's kind of an invitation after having gone into their world, welcoming them into your world. Of course, in all these situations, there's a need to be sensitive to, you know, what's going on and to the situation and how open they have been to entering their world. Of course, that's a big part of it. But it's all about building trust and an openness. If we seek to share life together, as we seek to see our community shaped by all ages, as we want to pass on our faith and our experiences, becoming more and more aware of those in the next generation, then we invite them into our lives and to participate with us in our lives. And then moving on, it's serving together. Would you be interested in being a part of the worship team? Just like I know Dave's been great with that with some of our young people. Would you be interested in joining in? Or we're putting together a Zoom worship team, just a few kids who are leading worship in Zoom. And would you be interested in being a part of that? Would you be interested in being a part of helping in this aspect of ministry, serving together? We're doing this outreach. Would you want to come and join me and join together in sharing in this experience? It's not about finding somebody, oh, I need somebody to do this, but there's this opportunity to share and to work together, to serve together, to encourage. And then level six, it doesn't necessarily always go in this way, but then there's this sense of regular intentional mentorship where there's this sense of let's meet together regularly, weekly or biweekly, and let's just have a talk and just go over some of the things. I know this is one of the things that we're moving towards even in extreme overflow, that we're pairing up parents or adults with young people and looking for a way to do it. Some will be paired up naturally, and some we're going to be asking and saying, who wants to be a part of this so that we can help grow this culture of sharing life together, of mentorship. And so that's where it becomes more of moving beyond that casual conversation. But here we're going to have an intentional talk about what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in life? How can we encourage you in that? And so, of course, when you look at that list, level 1 through 6, it's not like, you know, well, this week I'm on level 1, next week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then in 6 weeks we've covered it. No. There's a process, obviously, of relationship and a commitment that you just kind of, a sensitivity that grows out of this willingness. And that's where it really starts with. Each one of us saying, am I open to the opportunities around me? Am I open to the people around me that I could be someone who could speak into someone else's life, a young person's life, a young Christian's life, where I could come alongside and share in this journey with them? We've seen this unfold in the life of our church. By no means have we arrived, but I do see it as how a commitment to do this is somehow built into the DNA of this church, that in many different ways we see our young people involved. We see young and old working together, sharing together in ministry and in worship and in different experiences. I think that's an amazing thing that we can affirm and continue to see grow. And as I said earlier, we believe in a church that is intergenerational, where people can learn, experience, serve, and worship at every age. This life of faith is experienced and it's taught through shared experiences. And it's these shared experiences that are only possible if we make time and space in our lives for these opportunities. Realizing that I have something to give. You have something to give. You have something to share. You have a life experience. You have a maturity in Christ. You have something to share with someone else. And recognizing that and affirming it by being open and willing. As I was working on this talk this week and just thinking about it, I realized how this is really a full circle to the first value that we affirmed, transformational discipleship. It is a relationship. It's a relationship with Christ that overflows in our relationships with each other. All of these values are a part of our journey as followers of Jesus Christ, followers who get to know Jesus, who get to know and understand what he is saying and see what he is doing and to follow him in that relationship. Followers who serve and love one another. Followers who seek to experience God with authenticity. Followers who welcome and are hospitable as an overflow of the love that we have experienced. And followers who grow in community together with all generations, sharing life together. It's the opportunity that we have as we open up our hearts, our lives, and say, God, as we sung it earlier, take my hands, take my feet, take my heart, move in me so that others will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this community. Thank you for King's Community Church. Thank you, God, for the commitment and for the experience, for what we see over and over as we see this intergenerational flavor expressed in this community. Thank you that you are at work shaping each of us. No matter what age we are at, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, wherever we're at, oh God, you take us and you have shaped us together as a community. I pray, oh God, that we would continue to be open to opportunities, to ways to share life together, to continue to see this community of faith shaped by different ages. As we pour into young people, as young people share with us and broaden our own experience and our own lives through these relationships, oh God, may your hand be upon us. May your hand be upon us. And that you would build your kingdom, shape your kingdom in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.